of Galahad. You have a journey to make, a sacred journey, that I hope you will eventually come to understand as a path to follow. This will be the most important thing you have ever done. Call it the call of God. Call it the call of the Spirit. Call it the call of the great mystery. Call it the catastrophe. Call it whatever you like. But a call of some kind is hidden within the troubles. The purpose of this call may be to draw out something hidden and wonderful within you. And if you don't mind me saying so, to bring about your own awakening from a kind of spiritual slumber. I should tell you now, the journey may not follow a very straightforward path, with clear-cut steps to take and easily identifiable problems to solve. Why? Because the foundation of your life, the core of what you believe yourself to be, is shaking quite a bit. It doesn't really matter how secure or insecure you believe that foundation is. It's unnerving and outright scary when this happens. At the same time, all those doubts about yourself and questions about God are evidence of the great mystery and work within you.
For this, the last sermon of the month of April, where our theme has been transformation, I chose the title, Are We a Work in Process, or Have We Settled for Good Enough? Good enough can be a personally subjective opinion of one's own work, as when the minister writes a sermon, and then after several hours and running out of time and energy, he or she concludes, that's good enough. But good enough can also be a judgment by a third party, as when a minister delivers a sermon and people say, well, it wasn't great, but it was good enough. And sometimes you don't know if what you have done is good enough until you deliver it to the congregation. That's the way it is with sermons sometimes. Last Sunday on Earth Day, I delivered a sermon that in hindsight was not good enough. In an effort to justify my own struggles with decisions related to the Kinder Morgan pipeline, I managed, I think, to overstate my case. And in the process, I offended some others. Others who see the world in a different from a different perspective. On the one day of the year dedicated to celebrating the unspeakable beauty of our home planet, I chose to focus on my own struggles, coping with my transition, my transformation from engineer to minister. And for that, I'm sorry. Sometimes when you're a work in process, you can expose the parts of your being that need the most work. But living in community, bound by covenants, allows each of us to try to move beyond good enough. And for that, I'm very thankful and aware that transformation can be a difficult, even a painful experience. So here we are on the last Sunday of the month, a month dedicated to the concept of transformation, talking about good enough. When is a transformation complete enough? Here, the metaphor that we've been using all month of a monarch butterfly's transformation from an egg to caterpillar to chrysalis to magnificent butterfly exceeds human capacity. That transformation is never good enough until you have that beautiful creature emerging from the chrysalis and taking wing. Built into that question, when is the transformation in a human sense complete enough, is the recognition that human transformations are never complete. Unlike the butterfly, we're doomed to fall short of perfection. But that's not a bad thing, for it means that our potential is limitless. As we begin to explore the concept of transformation in the context of individuals within a church community, it's good to reflect once more on why we do the things that we call church. In particular, Universalist Unitarian Church. I think there are four key elements, all of which are interwoven. First, and perhaps foremost, we do church for the comfort that a loving and supportive community brings in so many different ways. Second, we do church to give meaning to our lives as we wrestle with what it means for each of us to live a good life. And third, we do church to bring more love into the world, to extend ourselves for our own spiritual growth and for that of others with whom we have contact. And lastly, we do church to bring more justice into the world. I like that phrase in the reading, awakening from a spiritual slumber. And sometimes I think that's what we're trying to do in church, to wake up from a spiritual slumber. Came across a reading by Rabbi Schneeshorn, who wrote, if you see what the world needs to be repaired and how to repair it, then you have found a piece of the world that God has left for you to complete. But if you only see what is wrong and what is ugly in the world, then it's you yourself that needs repair. And either way, the church can help. The phrase good enough has some very different connotations depending on the context. In relation to church and pastoral care, it's often seen as a buffer against that unhealthy need to get approval from others in a society that's dominated by superficiality and by material goods. I offer a meme from the internet that captures this positive aspect of good enough. You are good enough. You are strong enough. You are smart enough. You are pretty enough. You are brave enough. You are worthy enough. You are enough. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't give someone else the power to take away that sparkle that makes you special and valuable. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. In the years that I've been working as a minister, I've spent more of my time with people who are struggling. I'm much more aware of the million stories in the Naked City that are out there. And sometimes life can be a difficult struggle. We need to rest. We need to say, for the moment at least, we are good enough for now. If that's where you are today, then I hope the message that you are good enough will bring you comfort, time of peace, an opportunity to rest and recover. But the phrase good enough also has some negative connotations, again, depending on the context. Good enough can imply quitting, a lack of effort, a sense of the mediocre, in order to avoid more work or more discomfort. I use the example of the sermon when I stop and say, that's good enough, because I don't have the energy to go on. But as I pointed out in an earlier sermon this month, transformation often involves pain. And so we must be on guard against accepting good enough just to avoid some pain. I suppose it's possible to imagine a state where one concludes that their life is good enough, that what they understand about the meaning of life is good enough, and the desire to bring more love and justice into the world has been completely satisfied for them. This, however, would define a person bereft of passion in their life. And passion is surely an element of a good life. If you're passionate about something, is it ever good enough? What real musician is satisfied that their music is good enough? What poet settles for poems that are good enough? What artist settles for a creation that's good enough? What athlete, what marathon runner thinks that their time in the last race was good enough? If you live with passion in your life, there are times when you won't accept good enough. It's an interesting example of that catch-22. If you are completely satisfied with your life, then you must lack passion. And if you lack passion, our lives can't be completely satisfying. And for universalists, there's a theological problem with good enough as a goal. Good enough doesn't require that we extend ourselves for the benefit of anyone else. And the will to do the uncomfortable for the benefit of another person is the very definition of love, the bedrock of this church. We cannot truly love and at the same time be satisfied with good enough. Accepting good enough also closes us off to the unexpected. As you know by now, I'm a huge fan of the idea of cultivating serendipity. The unexpected, the uninvited opportunities that take us off on an adventure that we never expected. In order to be open to the spirit of serendipity, you have to be open to new ideas, to new challenges, new demands on your limited time. But if where you are is deemed to be good enough, you won't be looking around for anything better. You won't notice that door that's ajar, and you won't go explore what's behind it. As Henri Jeteric Ariel has written, we all should leave a little fallow corner of our heart, ready for any seed that the wind may bring, and reserve a nook of shadow for the passing bird. Keep a place in your heart for the unexpected guest, an altar for an unknown God. Just as individuals can get stuck in good enough, so too can congregations. This congregation is of a size where continued numerical growth is going to require dramatic change. Alice Mann wrote a classic book that most ministers read at some point in their training called Raising the Roof. On the subject of church growth, it describes the transition or the transformation from a pastoral-sized church to a program-sized church. Get around 100 people, you have to start doing things a little differently. If we become satisfied with pastoral size, if that is good enough, we'll never find the will to grow into our full potential as a religious community in Halifax. As your minister, I want to let you know that how much I appreciate the efforts and the work of so many members of this congregation to ensure that we are and always will be a work in process, never settling for good enough. As new people come into the door, each with new ideas and new energy, may we always embrace them and encourage them and provide them with the resources to make us better. The message of Unitarian Universalism, a religious and spiritual community without creed or dogma, where we support one another in our dance with life, it's too important a message to be limited by a view that we're good enough. Your board, as you heard this morning, has recently been asked to decide if they would recommend to the congregation that Halifax host the National Canadian Unitarian Council annual conference and meeting 2 years from now in 2020. It would have been tempting for them to say, we don't need that challenge. We don't need a challenge that comes with hosting another event. We're good enough as is. Instead, your board has embraced the opportunity as a challenge to see ourselves growing into a new challenge that will change how we see ourselves as well as how you use from across the country and the broad community of Halifax see us. We are indeed a work in process. I looked at several things before selecting the cover for today's service, and I like the wording there. It combines the acceptance of our imperfections with recognition that it is the effort to overcome our imperfections that makes us good enough. I'm not perfect, nor will I ever be. I'm a work in process, and that is definitely good enough. Learning and applying a new skill is the most fundamental way that we can break out of the good enough mindset. So I close with a poem by Amy Lloyd. I am learning to be brave. I am learning to speak my own language. I am learning what I want to become. I am learning what kind of life I want to live. I am learning to stand in my place without flinching. I am learning to go my own way. I am learning not to help people who don't want to be helped. I'm learning to embrace my powerful spirit. I'm learning how to build my bridges complete with lions to guard against the foot traffic. I'm learning I have value to bring to those waiting to hear my voice. I am learning the intensity of my own burning passions. I'm learning to keep digging in the murkiest of my own brokenness. I am learning to accept my imperfections as beautiful. I'm learning to think in terms of unlimited possibilities. I'm learning I will not always be understood in the way that I intended, and I am learning to apologize, then more freely move forward. I'm learning and learning and learning new things every minute, every day. I'm learning to be a part of the healing of the world because I'm willing to learn to be me. May it be so, and amen.